Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Doctors of Running podcast, where we, a group of doctors of physical therapy, discuss the art and science of running and the stuff that we put on our feet. Tonight, we are reporting shortly after the Green Bay Packers ended up defeating the Dallas Cowboys 48 to what was it? I mean, at one point it was 48-16. So it was just kind of like the most unexpected game, except for David. You called it from the beginning.
Yeah, unless you're talking to me.
David is a Cowboys fan. Yeah.
I said this even like you had said this before we started recording, that I had said this even before the Packers got the nod in the first place. I said, I pray we don't have Green Bay. I just was like, I don't know what it is about that team, but for whatever reason, it just feels like Dallas is cursed every time we play Green Bay. And I was like, literally anybody on the planet but Green Bay. I would have rather lost that last game, got a wild card, and played on the road than play at home against Green Bay.
And totally. You should have just...
I should have just called Jerry up and been like, hey, man, like...
If only the refs didn't take away the win for the Lions 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it would have been a blessing in disguise, right?
Anyway... This is obviously not a football podcast, but I do bring it up.
We're throwing it back to OG, where Matt sits here quietly, not having anything to contribute.
Totally. I think it is crazy, though. Like, it felt like I was the only person in the country, right? Like, everyone was like, Dallas doesn't lose at home. Like, they're playing a team that's a bunch of rookies and young people. Like, there's no way they could possibly win. I'm like, there's every way they could possibly win.
And here we are.
The next episode of Doctors of Football.
I bring this up not because we're going to talk much more about this, but if you notice that David's a little bit more sad, if he's a little bit off, you know why. If you didn't understand the context, you know why. And so here we are. Today's episode is actually going to be pretty fun. We are doing another ranking episode. We are in a position where we are thankful that we get to test a lot of different shoes. Companies are gracious enough to partner with us to allow us to test a lot of different things, which gives us the opportunity to compare things to each other. That's harder to do when you have to purchase them all on your own. So we want to try to leverage that for the benefit of everybody. And what we're going to be talking about from a rankings perspective this week is our most soft shoe to our most firm shoe, or actually the order we're going to go in is firm to soft. And so the conversation really today centers around the idea of softness, what that means in a shoe, and then how that plays out in our perception. So when I think about softness, I kind of have two categories in my mind. The first category is more of the scientific definition of softness, maybe how shoes are tested in a lab, the material science behind softness. And then there's the other side, which is that subjective experience when you're out on the road and you're actually running in the shoe. And we have enough studies that show us that there's a lot of difference between what it shows on paper in the lab and what people experience out on the road, depending on who you are as a runner. So that's why we wanted to give three perspectives on this list. We have 10 shoes that we're going to go through, and we're going to kind of talk through our subjective feeling of softness and how that created the list that we have. And we don't know what each other have ranked these shoes at yet. We're going to be blind revealing these to each other. So we'll see how much we agree or disagree. And we actually expect some level, if not major, areas of disagreement. If we happen to all agree, cool. But I think we would expect difference because we are all different runners and the perception of softness is different. So Matt, could you talk a little bit about, from that scientific side of softness, some of the things that are considered and how softness is measured?
Yep. So typically the term that's actually utilized to the official scientific term is usually compliance of the midsole. Although to be totally fair, very compliant midsole may be perceived differently by different people, but compliance usually refers to how much the midsole compresses. That's not how much it bounces back. It's how much it compresses under load. Resiliency, or sometimes what we consider or use the phrase responsiveness, is how much something compresses and then bounces back, or reforms. goes back to its hopefully original structure. Those are two different things. So we want to clarify, we're talking about softness. We're not necessarily talking about responsiveness, how much the foam bounced back. We're talking about how much we feel the foam compresses under our foot. And again, Nathan mentioned this, that perception can really differ quite a bit between people. There is some early evidence to suggest that if you find something more comfortable, there's some theory out there that the compliance and how the foam is compressing might be matching up with things like how your muscles are firing. So that's not confirmed. It's just some thought. So if it feels better for you, that's great. It also is there's an idea that some people think that more softness is better. That's not actually true, although typically people tend to gravitate towards softer things. There does seem to be an optimal level that people seem to like. So that's why if you look at things like the Run Cat scale, the comfort assessment tool, the thing will ask, does it feel like there's an optimal level rather than is it the softest thing? But we're going to talk about the softest to the firmest. Firmest being something that we perceive as being kind of a lower compliance. But again, that's going to be something different from responsiveness.
I think a couple other interesting pieces within that scientific side that we've learned from some of the material scientists who are in the game. One of them is that with that responsiveness, it's not like the foam compresses 2 inches and then comes back 2 inches. It's the amount of lost energy within that return to its original shape. So it's through a hysteresis curve and the space between the two lines. So we actually went into a big conversation on that on the podcast. It was with the Saucony team with Andrea Paulson. So you could go back and look for that episode. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. The other thing that I wanted to mention too is two more things actually. One is durometer is something that people talk about or will kind of do in their YouTube videos to show like how much it deforms just from pushing on the outside. And it just does not give you a true picture of the softness of the foam. So you can kind of take durometer and put it to the side. Don't throw it out, but it's not something that's going to give you a pretty reliable idea of how it deforms under load. The other thing that we've learned about softness is that the compliance of the foam is one factor, velocity is another. And so if you have a foam that can has such a compliance, if you load it fast versus loading it slow, it may have more or less compliance depending on how quickly you're loading it, which again can change the perception of what the person who's running it can feel. Matt, so I think that's kind of the scientific side. Matt, you started to touch on some of the subjective stuff. David, could you go into that a little bit more and talk about what you think about when you're running in a shoe and you're determining, is this, because somebody's going to ask you, is this a soft shoe? What sort of things go through your head as you evaluate what soft means?
Yeah. So anytime we take a look at the word subjective, it's essentially in the name, but it means like how something feels qualitatively. So outside of a lab, outside of a number, what does it actually feel like on your foot? And again, like being in the qualitative nature of things, that may differ from person to person. But subjectively speaking, when I take a look at softness out in the field and putting something on your foot, I look at a couple things. And one that I look at is probably the one that a lot of companies put a lot of emphasis in because it's what generates sales. And that's that initial step in. Once you put that shoe on, what does that actually feel like? And that's your first interaction with your foot and that platform and the floor. And that is going to have a little bit of a say, but things obviously change once they break in and you're moving around and you're actually using the thing. So there's the initial step in, there's the actual movement, and you kind of hinted at it a little bit with compliance and resilience and kind of, you know, how the shoe actually operates under load. But once you move it, that might change. And so when I look at it from a field standpoint, I look at it from how does the shoe interact upon load and how does that feel subjectively? So the initial step in, I mean, you could step in and it's the softest thing on the planet, but the second you start running, if it doesn't have that or it doesn't have any give to the foam, there's actually an example later on. I think it's a little bit of a hot take on my list, but I think softness can get confused with stack sometimes. And stack height, meaning how high the shoe is from the ground, how much foam there is, usually measured in millimeters. I mean, always measured in millimeters. Let's say the max stack height right now, you know, 40 plus millimeters of stack under the heel. Just because it says that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be soft. It just means there's a lot of foam. And if there's a lot of foam, I mean, it may or may not compress a lot. Sometimes there's less bend to it because there's so much foam. So it might actually feel more rigid. So it really just comes down to what you feel under your foot. And that may or may not be different between people. And that may or may not be different between the materials used. And the materials being used might still be interacted different between the people and the paces that they're putting the shoe through. So I know Matt is itching to speak, and I'm just talking over him right now, but it's my time to talk, no, Matt. And no, I'm kidding. Go for it.
So the couple things, just to, you brought up some really awesome points that stack height does not necessarily mean softer. And we've seen that very frequently. There's some other research out there that a lot of the things that will really influence what you feel are usually things that are closest to your foot. So an insole can play heavily into how soft it feels. I think that's one of the reasons Saucony, they've been using PowerRun Plus, and a couple models are using PowerRun PB actually in their insoles. And so that will change Puma how
you might be doing that too.
And then I think, I know a couple companies are, so again, people are actually putting a lot of work into their insoles because it does definitely impact how you feel. The other things that will impact this is what's happening like in the strobel board and the stuff right into the foot. So if you have a shoe where, let's say, like it has a carbon plate or some kind of plate, if that's really close to the foot, that may make the shoe feel firmer, because when your foot is contacting that is the first thing proprioceptive you're feeling. So don't assume, and I love Nathan David hit this, that I, you know, hopefully this is not me poo-pooing on others, but the whole like pushing into the side of the shoe and going, oh, here's the durometer. You're not like loading the shoe correctly. You're loading it like from the transverse plane, frontal plane. Like that's not how the shoe is loaded. That's not how it's going to feel. And then you have like, you can sometimes have, like multiple materials there, multiple midsoles. David, go for it.
Oh, I was just going to say, think about how much force you're putting in with your thumb from the transverse plane versus how much force you're putting in from your entire body down onto the shoe, or multiple times your body weight. Yeah, like it just doesn't add up at all.
Right.
One other thing worth noting too is from the science side, the scientific side of looking at materials, there's no standardized way for companies to report the softness of their shoes. Some of them are just reporting the foam itself, which does not incorporate the impact of the outsole on the amount of firmness, or the insole and all the other components. And so it really matters how companies choose to report this, but we don't have a standardized way. So just because something says it's super soft, it's hard to compare that. And that's kind of what's fun about the list we're about to go through, is just to kind of compare. So
on a side note, I will say we have insider information that companies that do tend to use the impactors, like the things that you see slamming down, usually their justification for why they're using that is that they hate their downstairs neighbors.
I really thought
I was about to go off the handle here for a second. I was about to be like, oh man, are we gonna have to cut something?
I'm so happy I kept that.
Amazing.
I'm sorry, let's go.
So this finally gets us to our subjective of the day. And that just is us asking you all, when you think about softness of a shoe, what is going through your mind? What sort of questions are you answering? What sort of sensations are you describing? We'd love to hear what sort of ways that you describe, as David said, that qualitative data, that information that you give about what makes a shoe soft or firm and what parts you care about the most. So here we go. I am going to do a couple things. The first one is I am going to list all of the shoes. So maybe after I list it, you could rewind this and pause it and you know, write them all down and make your list, see how much you agree with our takes on these. Obviously, you may not have been able to run in all of these, but you could kind of guess where you think these might fall, even just from what you've read or heard before. So I'm going to read through all of those. And then we're going to go all the way from our 10th most soft shoe, so our firmest shoe, all the way down to our softest shoe in terms of our subjective report of what we think is soft. And we'll kind of talk about why we ranked it where we were. So here's the list of shoes. We have the New Balance SC Trainer version 2, the Nike Alphafly 3, the Brooks Hyperion Max, the Saucony Ride 17, the Hoka Clifton 9, the ASICS Nova Blast 4, the Vomero 17 from Nike, the New Balance More V4, the Cloud Surfer from On, and the ASICS Nimbus 26. So there's your 10 shoes. Take a chance to write them down and make your own list. And as you noticed, we kind of have a very wide array of types of shoes. We didn't do all trainers. We didn't do all racing shoes. We've got a mix everywhere from the super shoe to the daily trainer. So let's get into it. So let's go from our firmest shoe first. David, why don't you tell us what your pick is on this list for your firmest shoe?
All right. So contrary to the name of the shoe, I'm going to go with the Brooks Hyperion Max as my firmest shoe on the list. I don't find DNA Flash to be that soft, and there's not a whole lot of it. It's what, 30, I don't know, mid-30s in comparison to a lot of the other shoes, and it feels pretty grounded. There's a decently thick outsole on there, and like I said, I don't find it to be that soft anyways on the instep. It's a like a neutral low riding shoe. It's not like there's that much under the foot, and it's like there's still a decent amount of cushion, right? Like all of the shoes on our list have a decent amount of cushion. Like none of these are like
the day and age.
Yeah, none of these are below 30 millimeters of stack with a regular EVA outsole where it's like low to the ground and it's going to be firm no matter what. Like all of these shoes have a certain aspect of foam. So by me saying that this is the firmest shoe on the list, that does not mean it's the firmest shoe on the market, just so that I put that out there.
Yeah, we made sure. Yeah, don't worry.
That's great. So, David, what I'm going to say here, too, is that is my number 10 soft shoe.
Because Klein was looking at me like I was crazy. Thank you.
Max. Yeah, here's my most firm shoe. And I pretty much just agree with everything you said. I don't have much to add, but there's not a lot of forgiveness when you go into it. It's a very quick responding shoe. This is, we just have to give the shout out for Andrea. This is her favorite shoe
last year. Yeah.
She has bought multiple shoes of this one, and she's liking the new Rebellion Flash
version 2. Yeah. I like Flash 2 a lot too.
So,
yeah, apparently that got dethroned. So,
but yeah, but this shoe is very beloved by one of our team members. And just because, like we said, firm isn't bad, but this is definitely the most firm on this list for me. Matt, what's your number 10?
It's the Hyperion Max.
Oh, there we go.
Right.
There we go.
Yeah. I was just like, oh gosh, David, you and I are going to do the same. We had the exact same answers the entire time.
So, I mean, we'll find out. Yeah, it is fun to argue.
We'll argue. We'll find something to argue
about something. Yeah. I didn't get in a fist fight after the game, so I got to do...
That's fair.
Got to get your aggression out somewhere.
So my thing is, and Brooks typically in the last couple years, I've noticed, like especially the Flash and a lot of the foams have been, to me, perceptively and subjectively much firmer. Like I know a lot of people really like the Glycerin series and said they were soft. I did not find those soft at all. I found them fairly firm for whatever reason. I don't know, but the Flash certainly tends to be a little bit firmer. So yeah, I definitely put that as the firmest shoe. Not necessarily a bad thing. It was still a great shoe to run in, but definitely the firmest of this list.
Great. Matt, why don't you bring us to number 9?
Yeah. So my number 9, let's see if we can create some controversy, was actually the Nova Blast 4. I did not find that shoe that soft. I found it very different from the Nova Blast 3, which I found to be very, very soft. I found I think a lot of it is the geometry where it just seemed to snap me forward so quick that I just found it kind of the second firmest of this group, which is not bad because it was my understanding this is meant to be a little bit more up-tempo. It's just not as soft as some of the other things on here. So see if we create some controversy with that.
Yeah, I get the reasoning. It's not my pick, but I certainly see the reason. My pick is a little bit of a hot take, I think, being at number 9 here, because I think it's a shoe that a lot of people put on their feet and they're like, wow, this is so soft. And I think it's one of the things that in the marketplace, everyone says it's so soft and everyone knows it for being high stacked and cushioned. And it's on the feet of so many people in the country. And again, this isn't a knock on the shoe, but I'm sure you know where I'm going with this at this point. I put in enough hits. It's the Hoka Clifton 9. And it's a EVA midsole. Like, it's a pretty flat doll. Like, there's a lot of foam under there, but it's like what we were talking about earlier. Just because there's a lot of foam doesn't necessarily mean it's soft. And when we look at a lot of the shoes on this list, a lot of them are using newer generation foams that have a little bit more compliance, a little bit more resilience. And you can just feel a little bit more play in the foam. And I feel like you don't feel that as much in the Clifton. And for a good reason, that might be why it does so well standing for so many people. You know, like it kind of holds its structure. So I'm not here to say that it's, again, not a soft shoe. But I think contrary to the public opinion, I don't perceive this as like one of the softer shoes in the market. I think there's a lot of other things out there that are softer. And so for my pick is the Hoka Clifton 9.
Well, mine is Clifton 9 too, David. You and me, we're on lockstep right now. I totally agree with you. I think from the version 8 to version 9, there was a change in the foam, but it made it more responsive and bouncy, not so much softer. I think, like you said, public eye, Clifton is like, oh my goodness, I've never felt something more soft in my life. The Bondi has talked about that way too, but it's a pretty darn firm shoe. And so I'm totally on board with you there. I love the amount of like softness in this shoe. This was one of my favorite trainers of last year. I would put a lot of long runs in, and it was bouncy and firm enough to pick up the pace. So I loved its versatility. Well, it still really felt really protective and cushioned, but it didn't have that mushiness or like a lot of spring and displacement that you would feel. So I agree with you, David. It's on the firmer side of this list.
Can I take this for a second to address something I think is really important? Because I've been thinking about that a lot of people will come to this entire list of shoes. I can guarantee if you take the average person off the street that doesn't run, if you put them in any one of these shoes, I almost guarantee you they're going to say the exact same thing. This is the softest shoe I've ever felt. Because to be honest with you, my number 8 is the Clifton 9. Because I found the same, the same thing where it, you know, everybody says it's soft. Version 9 to me was on the firmer end for how much, even though, yeah, there's a lot of foam. But I have to think that we remember that a lot of people getting into running will certainly perceive these as soft, because relative to what they've been walking in, like if you're walking in a pair of Vans and that's what you know,
that's exactly,
and then you step into
thinking
a Clifton.
I was thinking, yes, that's a lot of these people soft. Are going from Vans.
Right. Right. So we are coming from Vans not the only shoe, but we're coming just knowing
shoe.
Of the whole list.
It's
yes,
running Vans shoe companies and Vans.
Yeah. And the OnCloud X.
I'll give mine then for 8. So this is a shoe that got a pretty significant update from last year because they went to a whole new midsole for the company's use of it. And that is the Ride 17. They put Power Run Plus in this shoe. I would say the Rides of old would be even firmer than this one. This is definitely a little bit softer, but it still runs. I think Power Run Plus, even with the Triumph, has always been on that firmer, responsive side, not that soft, squishy side of things. So for me, it's the Ride. I think that the flexibility also makes it feel a little bit softer, but it's a little bit still not mushy soft or having a big amount of compliance. So that's my number 8.
I guess that leaves me, huh?
David, it's your turn.
All right, my number 8 is going to be the Saucony Ride 17. So looking at the Saucony Ride 17, I agree. So the Rides of the past were definitely on the firm side. And they did put the Power Run Plus in. That did make it softer. But again, this isn't that max stack height shoe by today's standards right now. It's sitting at about 35. So there's just less of it. There's a little bit more outsole coverage than in previous Rides too. So that also kind of firms it up a tad. And so yes, it is softer than previous Rides. Yes, the Power Run Plus is decently soft, but there's less of it. There's more outsole coverage. And I just feel like it's just on the firmer side there. And that's not a bad thing. I actually really like the shoe. But it feels like it's on the firmer side of this list as far as that's concerned.
David, do you want to bring us to the next one?
Yeah, my next one is where I think things start getting a little bit juicy, right? Because we start getting towards that top 5 there. Now, this one, I actually flip-flopped my choice once or twice. So I'm trying to make sure, looking at my arrows here, I got it correct. But I think I'm going to go with it, and that's going to be the Nova Blast 4. And so Nova Blast 4, it's a mix of things, because originally when I first wrote my list, it was actually a spot or two up in the softness area. And it's because of the different things I'm looking at. And when I look at what Matt was saying earlier, which I agree with, it kind of pitches you forward quick, and the compliance, it's not really there. I will say, however, if you sit there or stand there and you just kind of press your heels into the ground or just your forefoot into the ground, there's quite a bit of compliance. And it feels softer than some of these other shoes.
But not
when you're moving. But once you start moving, that story changes a little bit. And so even though I kind of initially had my brain thinking like, okay, this is on the softer end. And I mean, how much stack is there? There's 42, something like that.
It's above the 40
millimeters. Yeah, so
yes.
Like even
with
though
the, with the insole, yeah, yep.
Even yeah. though there's that much, I mean, it still rides on that firmer side for how much there is. And so that's another great example of like just because there's a lot of it doesn't mean it's going to be marshmallow soft. And I'm actually happy it isn't. I like this version better than the 3. And
I would agree.
I actually the A6 move to that having that eco line was big for me because I actually thought their foams were a little too soft. So it actually made it better for me.
I will say that they did improve the stability in the heel, I think a little bit because of that firmness where the first couple versions had some
one and two irritations. One and two especially. Oh. They were really wobbly.
I irritated my Achilles, I think, in each one.
Oh man, you're kidding me.
Oh my gosh.
We are, I got Nova Blast 4 on there too, which Nova Blast 3 was my favorite trainer when the year it came out. And I've talked about this with the Nova Blast before, with their design in the forefoot where they have the cutouts and kind of that bulgy middle. In my mind, it feels super cushioned. Like when you run and you feel it, it's cushioned in the forefoot, but I wouldn't describe it as soft. There's some kind of difference in there where, again, it gives you that kind of like protective feel, but it's not mushy soft and it's not this kind of trampoline either. And I agree with you, when they move to this eco versions, it firmed things up a little bit. And so you could definitely feel that there. I do think this is an overall soft shoe, but in the list, I think there's other ones that are softer, definitely. But I'm with you, David.
I wonder if that's an area of issue in the global population. If people are using the incorrect words. Like we've talked about how people use the phrase support in the past and they were actually talking about cushioning. I'm wondering if people are using soft and what they're really meaning is just there's a lot of stuff underfoot and they're not even understanding like the compliance and things like that. But just a thought, we need to standardize that. Oh, is it my turn? It is the Ride 17. So
we're all
found
close.
Something similar. I think the Power Run Plus edition definitely made this shoe soften up. It is very, in my mind, also very responsive to. I've done plenty of workouts. And I think I agree with David that the outsole design also adds to a little bit of that firmness. But I do think it's softer than the Clifton 9, Nova Blast 4, and certainly the Hyperion Max. So it goes on my whatever number we're on.
Man, I'm out here looking for drama. We ain't getting none of it.
Dude, yeah, that's exactly what happened last time.
I'll go next then. I'll bring us in for number 6.
Let me redo mine and I'll just create differences just to create arguments.
I like this. I think it's
Fly 3, firmest shoe of the group. No, just kidding.
It's also validating a little bit here, maybe for some of our perception. Interesting. But my next one, rounding out the lower half or the firmer half here, is another ASICS shoe. It's the Nimbus 26. If this would have been, and so this again, they moved to the Flight Foam Blast Plus Eco for this shoe. The 25 was a mushy shoe.
Right.
I had a hard time taking that shoe on long runs because my feet would be sore just from how much they had to stabilize. It did not work for me. This one has been much firmer. Much firmer might be too strong a word, but it's definitely firmer and more balanced. Yeah, it's a little bit more stable. It's always had the wide base for stability, but with how soft and just wobbly it was for my foot, I didn't enjoy that so much. So there's way less sinkage in this shoe, and they firmed it up, I think, to a happy place where you still get a lot of that protective feel. It's even a little bit more rigid in the forefoot, so you propel forward through that rocker, not propel in a fast way, but just kind of translate forward well over the forefoot rocker. So I've been a big fan of what changes they made for the firmness of this shoe. So my number 6 is the Nimbus 26.
What about you, Matt?
So my number 6 is actually the exact same thing. It's the Nova, definitely the Nimbus 26, where I think a lot of people, even to be honest with you, 25, I didn't find as like super mushy as people described it. And I will agree that the 26 is a little bit firmer. And again, it's for me personally, how I perceive this is really kind of middle. There's a ton of foam underfoot. Protective is definitely how I would say this. Nice and rocker, definitely how I describe this. Stiff, definitely. But not the softest shoe out there. It's fairly kind of middle for me, which is why I put it here for that softness, which I actually enjoy because I don't typically like mushy shoes. That's probably why I've gotten a good number of miles on these, just because I've liked that. So yeah, I'm totally in agreement.
Yeah, so I'm not going to pick the Nimbus. I'm going to pick...
Our first time not being the same.
Yeah, and I feel like this is kind of a little bit of an oddball one, but I'm going to say the Cloud Surfer. instep soft, ride soft. There's a lot of give to kind of the gaps in the midsole here. Now they use Helion foam, right? Or, well, Cloud Tech Phase, yeah. It's a soft shoe, and there's no plate in this one. You know, like, they have the Speedboard in almost every shoe, but not in this one. But there's also a little bit less foam, and it does compress a little bit dynamically, and I do feel like that ride does kind of bottom out a little bit, and at the end of the day, it does kind of have that EVA ride, like, feel to it a little bit, where it's that initial soft, but at the end of the day, if I'm looking at a bunch of shoes and I just ran 10 miles in each one, I don't know if I'd be picking this one as the softest shoe at the end of those 10 miles. And so that's kind of where my reasoning comes through on that one. But initial step in is soft. I will definitely agree with that. And I also look a little bit at, like, how much is my intrinsic foot muscles working a little bit. There's some other shoes that it's working a little bit more stable.
Yeah, not the most stable.
Well, I'll start us off for our number five. So we're into the top half here. My pick here is the Vomero 17. This is a shoe that has a dual density midsole. You have more of an EVA kind of on the bottom, and then you have ZoomX on the top. It's an interesting shoe in that way, but we talked about step-in feel. You can really feel the softness of the ZoomX, of this blend of it, when you step into the Vomero. That's what, for me, brings this to the softer category. Otherwise, it would probably be further up the list in terms of firmness, but that ZoomX on the top does a big job of creating a soft feel here, and it's ZoomX, so it also has that bounce back. So I've talked about this before, and I think I've already mentioned it today, but for me, there's a difference between mushy soft, where your, like, feet kind of sink into it in different spots, and then there's, like, trampoline soft, where the whole midsole deforms together. And I think that, you know, this form of ZoomX is a little more of the everything kind of compresses together in the heel, but in the forefoot, you can kind of sink into your toes a little bit. So yeah, definitely on the softer end, but since it's not full length, you still get that firmer bottom. And just like you talked about, David, with the Cloud Surfer, I feel like I bottom out the ZoomX, especially when I pick up the pace, not bottom out in a bad way, but I just use it all. And that's why it's not even more on the softer side of my list. So Vomero 17 for me.
Random question. If we did this as a walking shoe review, do you think you'd have the same answers?
That one might be softer, I think, for that reason.
Just makes me wonder. Yeah.
Same, like, with the Surfer. Yep.
Yeah. When you put a foam as a top layer, you're going to hit that first. So again, that's going to be your perception. If you're loading the shoe more and you're moving through that, you know, that's also the reason I wonder, you know, people sometimes will refer to the Cloud, like the On shoes, as really, really soft. I found the Cloud Surfer pretty soft. But I wonder if it's because when you're walking in it, it does feel relatively soft because you're not loading and bottoming out the shoe as much. Just a thought. I have no idea. Who's next?
It could be you or David. Why don't you keep
David,
going,
you go first. Okay. David.
To rock the boat and go completely off the rails within a pick or two, I'm going to go with the Nimbus 26 because we're all in agreement tonight, right? Apparently. So
it's awesome.
It's a lot of foam. It is soft. It's not like it isn't, but it just holds its structure really well. And I don't know if some of that's the eco materials in it, but it just doesn't quite, like, that mushy soft you're talking about doesn't really have that trampolini soft. It has a little bit of it, but not a whole lot of it either. Like, it's very protective, I think, is what you said, Klein. And I agree with that. It's like, it doesn't not feel protective. It feels very protective, but it just doesn't.
Definitely max.
Yeah, it's definitely max cushion category. Like, there's no question about it, but it just doesn't quite feel soft, you know? And like it, but it does feel softer than the other ones because, like, yes, there are some softness elements to the foam and there's a lot of it. So by default, like, it's going to compress a little bit more and you're going to notice it. So it kind of goes up the list there for that reason. But yeah, for whatever reason, I don't know. But I'm happy it's firmer because the Nimbus 25, like you said, I couldn't run in that shoe. I know a lot of people loved it, but I just couldn't do it. And the 26 for me is, like, so much better. I don't know why.
I believe these are sometimes public eye, but we often get from companies their take on how soft shoes are compared to the competition. And what they do is they create a cross matrix where one way it's firm to soft, and then up and down, it would be responsive to I forget the opposite of what they define as responsive and something else. And so we're kind of dancing around that concept too, where it's not just firm to soft. There's so many, and I would say there's more than just, you know, firm, soft, and responsive to non-responsive. You also have these other matrix that all play into it. So, all right, Matt, what's yours? What's your number five?
Mamero 17. So I like exactly what Nathan said, and actually, you know, also talking a little bit what David said as well, where I found ZoomX was really nice underfoot, and it created a nice cushion ride, but it wasn't the softest. It's definitely, to me, felt softer than the other ones, and I think it's because using that foam right underfoot, and it was really nice. But I actually appreciated this shoe not being mushy, and I've got almost 100 miles on these because it's not mushy, because I really like the way it has broken in, the fact that there's really nice sidewalls in the rear foot that for me create just enough guidance for this to still be neutral, but for me to still want to use it. So yeah, it's not mushy. It's just kind of right in the middle at number five for me. Cool. So
I think this brings up a point really quick too about type of foam and amount of softness. So the Invincible is a shoe with full length PBACs and no plate, but the type of ZoomX, and which is a PBA based foam, or PBAX based, they use a different compound than they do in their racing shoes. And so it has a little bit different flavor, a little bit different firmness. And just because something's PBAX doesn't mean it's going to feel super soft. The same would be true for the Tracksmith Elliott Runner. I have a couple pair of those, and I would put that probably tied with the Hyperion Max for, you know, how soft it feels, because it's a pretty firm shoe, even though it's a PBAX based shoe. So just because something's PBAX versus EVA, which is the type of polymer that makes it up, doesn't mean it's going to be softer.
I will say really quick, in terms of flavoring, I have tried eating the Invincible. It does not taste good.
Did you like take a grater to it and put it over?
No. Just
it's better. It's better as a garnish.
I just licked it. Yeah.
All right. I mean, I guess foams can have smells, and if things have smells, they can have tastes too. I mean, I don't know. I'm not here to judge. You know, my team just lost. Random. So.
Okay. Random off topic. Does everybody knows like the new shoe smell, right? Like, it's like, sometimes it's really good. I found with some of the super foams that the new shoe smell is like very plasticky and metallic. Yeah, it's like kind of like, whoa, it's like almost too much.
It's not good.
It's almost like sulfurous. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
All right, David, bring us into number four.
Coming in at number four, I think we are going to have our first... Oh, I guess we only have... Looking at the list here. Oh.
We should only have four more
shoes. There's five more shoes.
There's five more shoes?
Five more? Yeah, well, no, David, we got four David more hasn't brought shoes. Up his Vomero yet.
Four, three,
yeah, we have
two,
four more to pick.
Four more to pick.
Yeah, four more to pick, but there's five available to pick because I'm keeping notes. If you've seen me looking away, it's because I'm taking notes and I'm creating a tally.
I thought you just didn't want to look at me. But okay,
David,
well, that's good.
what's your number four?
Yeah, no, number four is going to be the Alphafly Next Percent 3 for me. So, ZoomX, soft. Plate, not soft. Airbag, not soft. So there's a lot of softness underneath it. You get a lot of trampolini. You feel all of that. This shoe is very responsive, and you're seeing it on the feet of a lot of people for good reason. It is a max stack marathon racing shoe, and it does use PBACs. It does use arguably the softest thing they have at their disposal. But the other components, including the outsole and some of their stuff, it does firm that experience up. And so even though it's a very cushioned ride, I do feel like there's aspects of firmness that do show themselves. And so it's not number one on the list, you know, because of that. Or number two even, or three. It's number four.
And, you know, I agree with you so much. That is also my number four on my list. It is... the epitome of kind of that entire shoe has to compress together, partially because of the plate being close to your foot, as you mentioned before, Matt. So when you push down on the right side of the plate, the left side is going to deform down with it. So it just, that stiffness front to back just really moves you quickly over it. And I think that this type of foam is so velocity dependent that it doesn't just feel mushy and soft. It's definitely soft. And if you stand on it, like you mentioned for that other shoe, David, if you rock back and forth on it, woo, doggy, that thing can move. But it is, I would agree with you. It's a soft shoe and it feels really soft. But there are other things that feel softer to me.
Don't tell me. Don't do it. He's gonna do it. He's got a face. Oh man.
There it is.
Yeah. So my number four was exactly the same thing, and I think over the compared to previous Alpha Flies, I did find it.
That vest like, you're wearing is that an AP as... for Alpha Fly? I'm just kidding.
It's for APU. I'm joking. Sorry. Those who pass their comprehensives in the PhD get this cool vest, which I'm repping.
Oh, there you go,
Dr. Karam over at APU for getting this for me. I feel the same way as you two, where it is an incredibly bouncy shoe, but the way this is set up, especially with the AirPods, the forefoot's on the firmer end for sure. So the heel is definitely a little softer, so I feel myself getting up on my toes. But again, it's the whole package together. This is not your soft, mushy shoe. This is your very resilient shoe. You're going to load it, and it's going to pop you back up. So it's not what I would say is soft. There's softer shoes on this list, but don't let that be a knock against it. It is still, I think, if not the one of the most aggressive midsoles on the market for sure. So... just not necessarily softest isn't necessarily the word I would use.
All right. We're in our top three now. And I can lead us off here. So this next one for me is one of those where the foam is really soft, but the elements add a little bit of stiffness, but I would call this a very soft shoe. We got the New Balance SC Trainer V2. I think Fuel Cell is a really soft foam. And it's really soft in this shoe too. I'm glad they gave this one a plate. I kind of harping on a lot of companies that meanlessly, that's not the word. They put in a plate for the heck of it, and there's no purpose. It's meaninglessly. That's well, this is hard.
Just say meaningless.
It's just meaningless. This one has a plate that stabilizes a foam that allows you to train in it. This is a shoe that when I was going through my foot stuff, that besides the toe spring in the front, it worked really well because of how soft the foam is. It decreased some of the acute pressure on the bottom of my foot. So I really liked that softness there. But again, just because there was too much toe spring, it didn't. I recorded a solo episode about my specific injury, but super soft shoe. Plate firms it up just a touch, but not that much. Like, you're still gonna, if you like soft shoes, if you want one that runs a little bit faster, I think this is a great option. But also works really well for daily training. Like, I think that if this one, and this one was also a little bit small for me fit wise, if this shoe fit me better and didn't have as much toe spring, it would be as versatile for me as like the Speed 3 from Saucony.
I had the same experience where foam, very soft, actually soft enough to me that I had it's been a little bit limiting where I haven't really been able to do long runs in it. I know I'm sure it works great for long runs for a lot of people. For me, it's just not stable enough because the foam is so soft for that, but I can still appreciate a shoe that's very soft and you can run fast in it. Like, more than half the runs I did in this were workouts and it felt better as I ran faster, but definitely since it's meant as a training model, that Fuel Cell foam is very soft. I mean, it's the same thing. I think we said the SC Elite, the SC Elite 3, not to be negative about it, was like the least super, but it was kind of the most friendliest of the super shoes because the foam didn't necessarily feel super aggressively bouncy, just felt really soft and protective and compliant. So I think it's kind of the same thing here in a little bit more trainer version that's truly meant for training with that plate design and foam. But yeah, I definitely agree that it's on the top three for softest shoes.
What you got, David?
Guys,
all right, let's move forward. SC Trainer V2, yeah?
This is going nowhere. I want drama. Give me drama. I don't know.
Yeah. At least we know we've got differences in views on the Cloud Surfer. So hopefully we'll have some... Yeah.
It's the SC Trainer cool. V2 for all the same reasons they said. All right, moving forward.
All right, David, why don't you bring us? What's your number two?
All right, my number two is going to be something that you guys keep wanting me to bring up, but I haven't brought up yet. So that's going to be the Nike Vomero 17.
Now,
we take a look at softness subjectively.
We do have something to argue about.
I mean, I don't think we do because everything you said checks out for me except for one thing. The step in soft, you know, you have this kind of compliance where it's noticeable in the instep and it's noticeable dynamically. You have this kind of soft, mushy, but also this bounciness to it where you can tell that there's responsiveness. Where we disagree is where you guys said it kind of bottomed out a little bit. It doesn't bottom out for me. I've taken this thing for 20 plus mile runs and it's felt just fine. So that softness is maintained over length. And I don't know if that's my dynamics, like how I move. I don't know if it's how I'm loading the ground, what I'm running on. But for me, it doesn't really bottom out. And I have over 100 miles on mine and it's still soft. So,
dude, 100 mile review.
Yeah, David, yeah, I should do that. 100 mile review. I'm still focused on catching up on all the other writing I got to do.
I would agree with you. Bottom out isn't the right term I would use. I think I just go through the Zoom X enough.
That's what I felt like.
Yeah, it's not wrong. Yeah. It's your experience, but, you know.
Yeah. But to be fair, I've also taken it on some of my longest runs, and I totally agree. It does phenomenal for that.
Yeah,
I think it's just interesting. I'm glad we disagree on the perception of softness, though, because we have.
But I don't know if we do though. I feel like our perception is exactly the same. Our experience was a little bit different.
Right.
Yeah, I think maybe it's one of those. Maybe, I mean, if we watch Matt's mechanics, there's a good chance that he's putting like a higher total degree of loading through the shoe at certain points than you do, David. Same with me. I think that Matt and I are probably more similar in our mechanics in some ways than you and I. And maybe it's not all mechanics, but I think it's possible that maybe we use up the foam and you don't. Yeah,
and there's no plate, so it's you feel all of it. So that's why that's also like above things like the AlphaFly, for example, because of the components around it.
Yep. And maybe too, you know, where, you know, how much of our foot is contacting at a time. You know, if I might run a little bit more lateral on some places and put higher pressures to smaller areas, whereas, I don't know, who depends? It depends. But cool. Matt, what's yours? Yeah.
So the Cloud Surfer is my number two. And this is the first actually soft on shoe that I felt. And it is still, I think, the softest one I have. What is it? The On Cloud. Oh my gosh. Not the Echo. Why am I? I'm sorry, everyone. I am blanking.
I've got a set of the.
Not the Monster.
Swift.
Yes, the Eclipse. So I actually found the Eclipse, like, it's well cushioned, but it is firmer to me than the Cloud Surfer. I found the Cloud Surfer very soft, but I also found it soft in a responsive way where another shoe that I did a good number of workouts in, because it's got some snap to it, which was great, but it's also not stable enough for me because of the slightly narrow platform and that softness where I can't really take it for longer efforts. But it is, in my perception, the second softest shoe of this list.
Yeah. Mine is also the Cloud Surfer. So this both rounds out our number two and like tells us what each of our number ones are.
Clean swap our Vomero and Surfer picks.
Yeah. Yep, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Almost. It's one off. But I think what's interesting about this reality for Matt and I is Matt and I talked about bottoming out the Zoom X feeling, that kind of perception in the Vomero, but we didn't feel like we bottomed out this shoe, which David did. And so I think that's a really interesting experiential difference. I do think part of that could be the rocker design on this shoe and the amount of beveling there is in the heel. It might help us transition a little bit better. But I found this to be step in, as you said, David, is wicked soft in this shoe. And just standing and walking around, I would say, thankfully, as I start running, it just kind of gets a little bit rhythmic and does firm up a little bit on the run. So I agree with you there. And I don't have enough miles on this to talk about how would it hold up to 300 miles or 400 miles, which I do think would be interesting when you think about the Cloud Tech,
like that.
Because the bridges are really important. And if you put more stress through a smaller structure for a long time, reaching point of failure, or not necessarily failure in a foam case, but just breakdown of the kind of structure of that, I do think this would be an interesting shoe for someone on our team to bring to, you know, at least 200 and just talk about that difference, because it is held together by these bridges. And I just think it would be interesting. And I agree with you, Matt. This is the first on shoe that has actually felt super soft. The rest of them are pretty firm. Even the Monster.
Yeah, the Monster.
I would say Monster.
I agree.
The Monster was, I would say, closer to like Nimbus 26, Ride Detective 17. If we were putting it in this list, it would be right around there where it feels really nice. And I loved it for long runs, but not soft. Didn't feel soft. So
it felt responsive to me, but not like resilient, but not soft.
That speedboard does feel pretty.
Loved it.
Like my fingers. That's a good point. Right about there.
Yeah.
It's pretty high.
Like it was pretty close to the footbed.
Another super, just totally off topic, the OnCloud Monster I have seen quite a bit on the feet of people that stand all day or that are recreational walkers who have said, like, this is the softest shoe I've ever felt. Couple people in Costco that I was like, hey, I noticed what you're wearing. And they're like, oh yeah, this is the softest thing I've ever felt. And I used to wear other running shoes like Bondi and stuff like that. They're describing that as being way softer. I'm like, that's so interesting.
Well, we all know what our softest shoe is from this list. It's the New Balance More V4.
Wow.
This is how I would describe as kind of that mushy soft. I think for me, step in is soft and on the run is cushy soft. They widen the platform so it doesn't feel unstable. We've actually put this, Matt, you've talked about this shoe being a stable neutral shoe, but I think it is a very like prototypically soft shoe. This and the New Balance 1080 V13, that is also extremely soft and is even more narrow. So I would say those two shoes for me are definitely on that kind of, like I said, quintessential softness. And interestingly, right, these are EVA-based shoes. And I think that we conflate property to sensation. And these are EVA shoes. It feels super soft.
It's fresh. I think it's a blend. I think I don't think it's like a pure.
And to be
they're fair, never super clear. I guess.
Yeah, to be fair, to shout out to Andrew Paulson from Saucony, that even today's EVA is not the same thing. Everything is a blend and it's being done really differently. But to your point, yes, technically, but don't undercut, like when it comes to softness, not responsiveness, not resiliency, but definitely compliance, you can still create a really soft foam. And I think the More for me did that. But I just love geometrically how they did it, where the wide base, the sidewalls, just still made it stable for me. But yeah, it was soft. The 1080 version 13, in my opinion, is on an entirely different level of softness from the More. Like the 1080 really version soft. 13 is the softest shoe I think I may have ever tried, ever.
It's wicked soft.
Dang, yeah. I want to try it.
But it feels nice.
David, do you want my pair? It's too soft for me to run extensively in. I appreciate them.
If there's one thing I probably don't need more of.
Yeah, more shoes.
Yeah,
we have enough to need.
What we should also just give a shout out. So we made our list and we sent it out to the team. We didn't create our orders we didn't reveal our orders till now. Andrea, who's not here, joked in a serious way that the More V4 is a very firm shoe. So we don't have Andrea on this to give her list. Maybe we'll have her report ours to the team. We can put it out on Instagram or something. I think it would be interesting, but. There we go. We've gone through it. And I think something that I'm wondering is the three of us communicate a lot about perceptions and footwear. And we tend to think similarly about how we define these different terms. Because we define it this way doesn't mean that a certain company does or another runner. And that's why we asked the subjective we did. But we are probably more on the same page than a lot of other people who would just kind of get these who aren't communicating on a literally daily basis. So that could be playing a role in that our subjective perception is related to our definitions, and that's why they're similar. But what I did, I just want to kind of list our consensus order. What I did is I created from the most firm to the softest, and I ascribed points to each position. So if it was the 10th softest shoe, it would get 1 point. If it was the 9th softest shoe,
and you have the 2 points already.
If it was the softest. Yeah, I've been doing it this whole time. Same. And then if it was the softest shoe, it would get 10 points. So I'll kind of go from firm to soft. So all of us agreed that the Hyperion Max on this list was the firmest of them all. So that one was our number 10 with 3 points. Number 9 was the Clifton 9, which had 7 points. That one came in at the second most firm for both David and I, and then third most for Matt. So pretty close to the top. Then at number 8, we had the Ride 17, which was right around that number 3 and number 4 for all of us. Then we had tied with the Ride 17 was the Nova Blast 4. Then coming in at number 6 was the Nimbus 26 with 16 points. Then, the Ride and the Nova Blast both had 10 points and the Clifton 9 had 7 points. I'm saying too many numbers. Sorry, everybody. But tied for number 5, we had the Vomero 17 and the Alpha Fly 3. Both of those scored 21 points. Then at number three was the Cloud Surfer, which scored 23 points. Number two was the SC Trainer V2 at 24 points. And then finally, the Moore V4, which got all 30 points for this rankings. So there's our consensus picks from 10 to 1 for the list that we just created. Any reflections from this exercise and what y'all think about?
Yeah, it's interesting to me again that where we thought we were going to disagree seriously and then we ended up being fairly consistent. I know you talked about this, but it was the same thing for Dave and I in terms of stability. It was just interesting. And I really want, like, for those of you listening, please comment. Even if you haven't tried all these, like, please just throw some stuff out because we'd love to see if our perceptions are similar to yours or different. So please don't be afraid to disagree because it's just more data for us, which is really cool. Because again, subjective experience is so different. We know this, you know, for those of us, like for me, because I teach a lot of stuff on like pain perception and chronic pain, explaining it to students, which is something really important to me because I didn't get that in PT school. So having students understand this and how patients, everyone, our perception of the world can be totally different. So it's very interesting to me that we actually share that. So again, please comment on whatever medium what you think, if you disagree or agree, because there's no right or wrong. We just want to know because it's just cool. Interesting how we all see the world or experience it underfoot.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, right? We're doing a qualitative podcast and we still try to quantify it. And
so yeah, that's
fair. No, but this, yeah. this is a fair point because you can make an actual study, go put it through an IRB, go do the thing, do your subjective qualitative data, and then make some kind of not a rubric, but you can essentially get data points out of subjective data, and you can say like, okay, so this percentage of people like that, like you can kind of scale things that way, right? And you can take qualitative data and create something numerically. Then that can all go by the wayside because it's qualitative data. And where I'm going with this is that there was a unanimous shoe as the softest on the top here, and Andrea would completely disagree. And if you look at the football game today, all of the numbers pointed at the Dallas Cowboys. Everyone on the planet was looking. I'm being serious, though. Like, quantitatively speaking, the chances of this happening.
If this shoe was a football team, what would it be?
Like, the chances from a number standpoint, you know, like, don't add up. And then it goes wildly in the other direction. So just like how that can happen, you know, in sports on any given day, that can happen on a shoe on someone's foot any given day. And everyone's going to have a different opinion, if not more so.
How tired you are can definitely affect how a shoe feels underfoot. I think there's something else. So one thing you can compare is this group of qualitative data, which might create a consensus, compared to this person's qualitative data, which could be against the consensus, like you just mentioned. The other thing we don't have is what is that scientific definition of compliance and resilience for each of these foams or the shoes conglomerate? We don't have that comparison for this list. I would love if we had that to now say, hey, we created this list of consensus. Does it match at all with the design of these shoes and how you define compliance or resilience or some combination? I think that would be fascinating, but we don't have that data.
I would bet money that it didn't necessarily match. It might be somewhat close, but it wouldn't match. For some reason, I'm thinking,
I have a feeling the power one would come out soft. I think that would be much higher up. And then, like we said, not to say it's not soft, it is soft. But the other things kind of firm it up.
We've talked, this is slightly off topic. We've talked to several companies about like numbers versus like personal preference and perception. We have several companies who have said, yes, we have elite athletes and we test them and we find of our racing line, this shoe is the most economical for our athlete. And the athlete will end up choosing something different because they perceive that it's faster for them or feels better for them. So I think, again, that perception and the psychology behind performance and perception is extremely important, and encourage people to really, yes, there are numbers out there. I get it. We're not poo-pooing all numbers. Okay. Their numbers can play an important role, but they may or may not correlate with what your experience is. And we have enough data at this point to know that a lot of times comfort can be a really important factor for individual performance and various things. So it's, don't yeah, you can look at the numbers, but don't forget to learn what feels good for you. I think that's been a kind of overarching theme for us is, yes, we have numbers, but because people are so different, and we know that from the evidence currently is going, you have to learn what works for your body, and you may also have to learn what you perceive as soft and firm.
Or what you're used to.
Right, yeah.
And I think a great example of this is the Atlanta trials with the debut of the Nike AlphaFly 1. When a lot of Nike athletes who now have this new shoe that they've tested to the nines and they still are opting for their 4% or was it next percent at that time, next percent one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were still opting for that because that's what they're used to. And really the only one you saw wear it were the people that were stoked to get a pair or Galen Rupp.
Right.
You know, and it was like, anyone who was actually running for Nike for the most part didn't actually run in the shoe. And they put all this work right into it. And then obviously that changes later down the line. But I mean, it shows you when something's new and someone's used to something, they might not want to do it, even if they perceive it to be faster. If they're not used to it and they don't know how it's going to perform, that also changes things.
Well, that was my comment, not to go off the rails, on the AlphaFly 3, where when I first put the shoe on, I was like, holy moly, like I would not race in this right now. And now that I've gotten like 25, 30 miles and the shoe's broken into me and I've broken into the shoe and I'm used to it, now I'm going, okay, I know how to control the shoe. Now this would be my top pick right now for racing. But when I pulled it out the first couple of miles, absolutely not. Because I'm like, I don't know what I'm perceiving here. Like, I don't know what to do with this. So yeah, making sure you're comfortable with your race day pick is really important. It doesn't, just because you're most economical doesn't mean you're going to PR. It could be the opposite, where you can only control it for so long and then everything falls apart. So, or you might be fine. I don't know.
So this is not an episode about maximalism. However, I think one study we didn't bring up in the beginning that we meant to was a study that looked at the biomechanical implications to softer versus firmer shoes. And one of the major biomechanical differences that they noticed when they put somebody in a softer shoe, all of these shoes would qualify as being similar to or more soft than the study shoe. This was back in 2016. So just think about how much technology has changed since then. This is all softer than that. But what they found is that the softer shoe resulted in higher leg stiffness, meaning that there is less compliance through your knee and your hip and your ankle, that you stiffened up all your joints. A lot of that is to be reflexive for the softness underneath your foot, the lack of perception of the ground. You have a reflexive stiffening. There are two potential things with that. Higher leg stiffness may lead to increased loading rates. Higher stiffness also can increase running economy. So there's lots of trade-offs with what happens when you run with a stiffer limb. Or in the same way, somebody who has patellofemoral pain or some sort of chondral defect in the knee who only gets pain at a certain degrees, maybe 35 degrees or something of knee bending, because that's where their chondral defect comes in contact. If you have a shoe that's so soft that it stiffens you up, you could avoid that chondral defect and have less pain with running. So there's lots of potential implications for the reality of leg stiffening with softer shoes, but that is a consideration. If you're like, should I run in something super soft or firmer? That's a studied biomechanical difference that we've seen is leg stiffness in response to the amount of softness underneath your foot.
So is that softness in terms of stack height or softness in terms of subjective feel?
They were doing the soft. This was they were looking at compliance numbers.
Yeah, I'm also partially trolling.
Oh, thanks.
No, that's actually a fair question.
But at the same time, it's like
yes,
because we just went on that whole rant about softness, and then like what it.
Yes. Yeah. No. This is totally on point.
Okay, so what is a softer shoe?
Somebody correct me because I'm not remembering this, but Malazzo did a study where he was looking at injury prevention and doing a prospective study. And I can't remember if they found if it was cushioning was the term or if they used the term softer shoes.
They used cushioning.
I think they used cushioning. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And I want to be careful that people don't take anything that we're saying as like, oh, you're going to like have reduced injury, just because, yeah, that little variable right there of going, yeah, you have reflexive stiffening, that can actually increase joint loading. So in some people, as Nathan mentioned, that actually might be a great thing because it helps, like, you know, you're not going to go through as big of a range of motion. You may not load a defect or something like that. But other people might feel like, wow, I'm actually more sore after running in the shoe, because yeah, you're utilizing more muscle, you're stiffening up in a way that might happen. That actually can increase joint loading. It doesn't mean you're going to get like joint arthritis things with more cushioned shoes or necessarily with less. It just means that some people are going to react in a way that you shouldn't think, oh, softer is better. It's what works for you. Yeah. What works for you and you find optimal is best.
Well, everybody, thanks for coming on this journey with us where we talked about softness of shoes. We took a group of 10 shoes that we've all ran in and we ranked them and we came up with our consensus picks. Again, we want to hear your thoughts. You can share them on our social media posts. You can find us at Doctors of Running, share them on YouTube, and you can watch this podcast on YouTube if you want, or you can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have it in you to take 2 minutes to go and, you know, rate and leave a review for this podcast, that is an extreme help to us. In fact, I think, you know, I think the ratio of people who have reviewed to listen is less than 1%, like far less than 1%. Far less than 1%. So take that time and go review it. That would be awesome. Otherwise, we look forward to talking to y'all next time. Oh, Matt, you got something to say?
I'm going
to
give you a choice. Either please go review our stuff or what you think the best flavor of shoe is. So go lick a midsole. No, I'm just kidding. Please go review our.
And that's all, folks.
I'm glad that we stayed on for that. Have a great night,
BJ,
everybody.
Don't cut that.
Keep it in. Bye, y'all.